chains. I've been driving this train, years in this lane. There's no stopping this flame, cause I came to the game and I changed it to play how I like, rearranged it to my own domain. Yeah, I got what it takes, made lots of mistakes, taking shots, skipping breaks, feeling lost, feeling great, popping off, singing straight, never stopped, never changed. All the squad here to play, and I've got something to say, yeah.
I work hard each and every day. I get lost in the words I say. I don't push pause, no, I push play. I won't stop till I make a change. I withdraw on the things I make. I turn flaws into flawless traits. I build tall, never cap in space.
I won't stop till I hear him say.
All right, everybody. I am Dr. Imphan Akpan, and I'm excited to be here. I was a guest on a podcast earlier today, and it was exciting. It was a great podcast interview, I have to say. And one of the things that was brought up that I think is very important and I wanted to really touch on today was what they call being technology agnostic. And what does it mean to be technology agnostic? So when you think about AI, and I was actually watching a video, if you go, you know, if you're on TikTok and you go in and it shows your story, so it'll give you your story history. So it was giving me a video from, was it March 16th, I want to say, of last year, where I was talking about the release of GPT-4. You know, so you think about the release of GPT-4, and now we've got GPTs, plugins are being sunset, or they are sunsetted, and we've got Sora coming, Bard. So if you think about last year, Google introduced Bard. Bard is no longer around. Bard is Gemini, and you've got Gemini, Gemini Advanced, Gemini Pro, and we're waiting for the Ultra. So thinking about all of these changes, and not to mention the Claude changes, which we'll talk about with the Claude 3, things are really developing, they're moving forward, and it's not a situation as to where you can just kind of sit and say, well, you know what? Oh, wow, here's the new GPT-4. I'm going to work on learning this for the next 2 years, 3 years, 5 years. I'll work on learning this, get really good at it. It's not really like that. You know, the anticipation is that there's going to be a GPT-5 or 4.5 before the end of this year, which is in some months. Not to mention that they're continuously updating the software. So the version of, you know, 4.0 that you're starting the year out with may not be the same version. So they keep updating it. So what do I mean by that? Well, you may not have that much time to kind of just say, this is going to be my thing and this is what I'm going to learn. And I was quoting a book by Stephen Johnson, Where Good Ideas Come From, where in that book, they talk about the 10-10 rule, which does not exist anymore. And I think that's something to really think about. And the 10-10 rule says that, well, it takes about 10 years to develop a technology and 10 to widely adopted. So they give the example of the black and white TV. It took about 10 years to develop and then 10 years for it to be widely adopted. Same thing for the color TV. you know, 10 years to develop and then 10 years for it to be widely adopted. So you think about that, 10 plus 10, that's 20 years. That is really, you're looking at, by some measures, a generation to get adjusted, to transition. So you think about, you had black and white. Now you had time to transition from black and white to color TV. I think about, and I always use this analogy of the movie Me Time with Kevin Hart and Mark Wahlberg. And it, great movie on Netflix. Came out last year, if I'm not mistaken. And in the movie, so you think about this whole change of technology. And when you think about it, think about the time frame we had to adjust. So in the movie, Mark Wahlberg's character and Kevin Hart's characters, they're best buddies. They've been best buddies for a long time. And Mark Wahlberg is having a party. Kevin Hart is there. And he's really bragging on Kevin Hart's character, talking about how great he is and how talented he is, and that he's a musician and he made an album. So Mark Wahlberg's character is telling everybody how great he made this album. His friend is wonderful. So everybody's like, well, wow, where can we get this album? We want to hear it. So Kevin Hart's character, you know, he says, well, it's on a CD. So then they look at him, a CD? What am I going to do with a CD? So you got to think about that. So you think about there's been that transition from cassette tapes. Then there's a period of cassette tapes and then CDs. And then now, you know, the MP3 player, so you have CD, MP3 player, streaming. So now you think about a CD, how are you going to play a CD? But the thing of it is, there's that time or that transition period to adapt and adjust. So that going back to that 10-10 rule, which does not exist anymore. So when you think about the technology, it's moving so fast and adapting and adjusting and changing so fast, it is almost impossible to settle into something, to say, oh, okay, this is how this AI is going. You know what? I'll have 5-6 years to figure this thing out. No, whatever it is you're using now is going to be different than before. You think about in November of 2022, we had ChatGPT 3, 4.0, totally wow. And we've got GPTs. They announced Sora. So all of these things are coming. And we didn't have Claude. We've got Pi. We've got Copilot, Gemini. So we have all of these different things that are out there. So, okay, what's the big suggestion? So, and this was an interesting point in conversation about this because I get this so much. What do we do? How do we navigate all of this? And I think the key thing is a mindset shift. And you're like, okay, doctor, what do you mean? You got to be comfortable with being uncomfortable. And meaning you got to be embrace change and just embrace it's going to happen and uncertainty. And what do I mean by that? Okay, we've got GPT-4. Okay, there's Sora. They announced this new Sora. When is it coming? What's the exact date? We don't know, but we know it's coming. So there's still some uncertainty there. We have an idea of what's happening. There's excitement, but we don't know when it's coming. How will it work? How will that impact things? So just being comfortable with being uncomfortable and a focus on lifelong learning, meaning you're going to have to continuously update and figure things out and understand things. You may say, I don't want to understand things. Well, if you're in the work world, you know, or really if you're around other people, it is important to understand what they're doing, because either way, if you're not using it, someone around you is, and it may impact you indirectly. Or maybe it doesn't impact you at all, but you don't know that unless you understand it. So I think even in the workplace, we were talking about business owners, why should they figure this out, learn it? Well, your employees may be using it at home. So what are their capabilities? What can be potential issues around it with them using it at home or having it on their, the big thing I like to talk about is on their personal devices. I had a conversation with my colleague. We were talking about it. I think it's called Plaud, little device you put on your phone. It records everything, your phone conversations, if you're at work, wherever you have your phone, it records everything and uses ChatGPT to help you to sift through it and to ask questions about whatever it is you've been talking about to throughout the day. So that's there. You might not use it, but now you know this is there. You're an employee or you're an employer. Now you know, potentially, your coworker could be recording your phone call. You know, their phone could be sitting there recording everything you're talking about. Same thing with your boss. So now you know what's out there. So I think that is very important. Not to mention, you've got we talked about this before, you've got the smart glasses. These are my Lucid smart glasses. I could be wearing my glasses and recording everything you're talking about to ChatGPT. Not to mention the Meta Ray-Ban glasses or the other smart glasses that have cameras in them, where someone could be sitting there with glasses on, live streaming you on Facebook or Instagram or recording whatever it is you're talking about. So that's what's out there now. And I'm not mentioning something that's coming in 5 years or 10 years. No, that's what we've got today. Number one, there's going to be more of it. And number two, it's going to get better. So I think from that perspective of, oh, you know what? I'm not going to use this. Fine. But someone may be using it on you. And I think it's important to understand it, know how it works. Now, as far as being technology agnostic, it comes down to, I think, the lifelong learning portion and then understanding the key parts and key things that you need to know when using this technology. When we're talking these large language models, when we're talking about Copilot, Gemini, Claude, ChatGPT, prompting, understand prompting, understand image generation. So understand items that carry over across platforms, right? So what's common to all of them? You got to prompt them. So now you understand how prompting works. And what's one basic or key area around that? These language models are not search engines. So you got to talk to them. You got to give them examples. And that's the other thing I wanted to show you that we talked about. And we'll look at this. I'm going to the Claude website or the Anthropic website where they talk about the release of the of Claude. So and this is March 4th. So when you look at this, so we moved from Claude 2 to Claude 3 with a model family. So now you've got Claude, Haiku, Sonnet, and Opus. So it's three different levels of the Claude model. So you got the Haiku, and then Sonnet is sort of that in between between the haiku and the opus. Which is different performance. Now, the key thing here, you look at this, and we were talking about this earlier because we were talking about some research that was done. If you notice this, it talks about undergraduate level knowledge, and then it lists out the opus, sonnet, and haiku, and then it compares it to GPT-4. So as you can see, the GPT-4 is, it looks like it's still the gold standard or the top standard or the benchmark when it comes to language models. But if you look under there, you've got five shot, and then so for undergraduate level knowledge, you've got a Claude 3 Opus, 86.8%, five shot. And you see that five shot across the board. So that means they've tested the models on questions. However, they've given them five examples. So when you see that shot, that means they've given it examples, five examples of the question that they want it to answer. So this goes back to what I mentioned, that these language models are not search engines. It's not something you just type in and then you get something out. You can use it in that way. However, the performance is not as great. And you can see this. So you see some of the tests. So you go to undergraduate level knowledge, you've got the five-shot test. When you go to graduate level reasoning, it's zero shot. So that means they just typed in, they copied and pasted a question and then let it have at it to answer it, right? So there you see lower performance. In this case, the Claude 3 Opus performed better than GPT-4. So it's 50.4% correct, right? Versus 35.7%. And then when you look at that grade school math, it's showing that Claude 3 is 95% with zero shot. GPT-4 is 92% with five shot, meaning to get that 95%, and that's not necessarily apples to apples, because GPT-4 was given five examples of the problem in order to get that 92%. Where Claude 3 was given zero. So again, that copy and paste in there to get that answer. So if you go down, you'll see the three shot, which means three examples. And I thought this was interesting to see and to go over, because again, you look over on the right side, you've got GPT-4, GPT-3.5, and then we've got the Ultra, and then we've got the Gemini Pro, and we're waiting for the Ultra, right? So it's benchmarking against the other models. We're still waiting for this, and it's testing it also against vision. So it's looking at the vision capabilities. And you see, it's a little lower with the vision. It doesn't give us the shot. When you have that chart Q&A, so zero shot versus a GPT-4 vision of four shot. So it seems to perform better with the zero shot versus the GPT-4 vision with a four shot or four examples. So I thought this was interesting, and it really plays back into what I was saying before, as far as it keeps changing. This is just March, and now we've got a new Claude model from Anthropic, which in many ways is, and in areas, is better than GPT-4. So now what's coming next from OpenAI? Now, you also have to remember, you've got GPT-4, and they keep updating it. So we don't know how those updates will impact those metrics, if everybody's following me. So they continuously update GPT-4. It's not a new model. It's not like they come out with 4.5 or GPT-5. They continuously update 4. So we don't know how those improvements will impact those benchmarks against Claude and Gemini. So these things keep changing. Key thing is the prompting is still there. And that's something that you can work on and control on how you prompt and what you learn about prompting, because you really can't control how often and how fast and how these models are changing. So I think that's something that's very important for us to understand and to think about and to become comfortable with. And the other thing I think that was interesting in the conversation was discussing how to put these things into your workflow. So looking into ways of making your tasks more efficient. And one thing I also want to mention is that many times we tend to focus on the negative. Oh, it gets things wrong 15% of the time. Oh, 10% of the time it's wrong. Well, 90% it's right. Okay. When we were talking about Devin, I hear all this about Devin. Oh, Devin is only right 14% of the time. It can add 14% to what you can do. You can look at the times it's wrong, but you can also look at what it can do right and how that can impact your workflow, even at 15 or 14%, how it can improve it, which is better than zero. So that pushes you forward, in my opinion. And many of the models, as you see, they're better at some things than other. But hey, today is the worst they'll ever be. So right now we've got Claude 3. We saw the metrics, GPT-4. This is the worst they're going to be because they're working to make them better, right? So that's only going to get better. So how we can get better is by working on looking at how we can put this into our workflow and focus on the positive. Maybe it is wrong 90% of the time, but that 10%, how can that help, right? How can that help and how can that push us forward, right? Think about your efficiency. If you can just become with 10% more efficient, I was giving the example, okay, I can do some math in my head, but if I've got a piece of paper and a pen, I can do more math, right? It'll help me out. I still know the math, but I can do more. Piece of paper and a pen, scratch paper and a pen. I got a calculator. Hey, I can do a lot more, right? And a lot faster, depending. So there, those incremental pushes forward are amazing. So love to hear what you think, your thoughts. But I thought this is important to come on and talk about the agnostic approach. It's interesting. All right. Thank you so much. Make sure you like and subscribe.
I've been driving this train, years in this lane. There's no stopping this flame, cause I came to the game and I changed it to play how I like, rearranged it to my own domain. Yeah, I got what it takes, made lots of mistakes, taking shots, skipping breaks, feeling lost, feeling great, popping off, singing straight, never